respond according to your message, and help us to love you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my question is, why not immediately? I was thinking he's going to do the song, Why Not Now, but for the invitation song, no trouble there, that's fine. But I'm wondering, why not immediately? Why do we put things off? Why do we not do things right now? You know, have you ever put anything off? Where's the urgency? When do we act? When do we not act? Why don't we do things now? What's getting in the way? What do we have to do? Wait for a written, engraved invitation? Why not immediately? When it says in the Bible, hunger and thirst after righteousness, what do you think? When you're hungry, how long did you put off getting food? How long do you like to say, well, let's see, I'm hungry now. When should I eat? Let's say, 12 hours from now. No, an hour from now, possibly. No, you want food now, right? How many go to the refrigerator right after you're hungry? Right after you're thirsty, how long do you wait till you get something to drink? It's immediately, isn't it? We don't wait. What if a kid was in the road? Do you say, he's going to get run over, well. Now, when do you get him out of the road? Immediately. When the bus is coming down the street. Why not now? Why not act immediately? Don't have to see the slides. All right, hunger and thirst. Yeah, that slide. Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let us be hungry, right? Let's see here. Hang on. Jesus said in John 6, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Why not come to him? All right. Were you there when Jesus was baptized? Were you there? Would you have liked to have been there? Would that have been a wonderful feeling? How would you have felt toward Jesus if you were there during this baptism? John promotes Jesus. He endorses Jesus. He says he was before him. His sandals are not, he's not worthy to untie his sandals. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How would you have acted if you were there? How would you have felt toward Jesus? Were the apostles there? Were the disciples there? Who was there when that voice from heaven was there? It says in Acts 1, verse 21, when they were looking for someone to take Jesus' place, therefore of these men who have accompanied us at the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Who were the witnesses? The apostles were the witnesses. They were there. What did they do? How did they respond when they saw Jesus being baptized and they heard a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son whom I well please? Well, we can look in Matthew 4, verse 18 and see just exactly what happened. One more slide, here we go. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, cast a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what? They waited 2 weeks and decided to follow Jesus. No. They immediately followed him, leaving their nets, right? And then in Matthew 4:21, going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When did they leave? Immediately. Why did they leave? They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, because they were a witness. That's why they were there. That's why they left the boats and their father. Right? And the father probably felt like, why can't I come too? Right? Acts 16. Now it happened as he went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination meets them, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. So she's there saying, "These are the men from the Most High God. They're here to bring salvation." And she said this over and over again. Why didn't Paul and Silas cast out that spirit then, in the beginning? Did she not want the spirit to leave her? Is she happy? I mean, were they afraid the masters wouldn't like that? Why did they do it then immediately? Why not? But then it says, but Paul became greatly annoyed. When do we act immediately? Is it when we're annoyed? When we're fed up with something? When we're angry? And then Paul, greatly annoyed. What's going to cause us to act immediately? Turn and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when his masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So what did they do with Paul and Silas? They grabbed them as quickly. Why did they grab them? Because they were angry. You took away our livelihood. When do we act immediately? When we're annoyed or when we're angry? Well, in the next passage, there you go. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach the customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. They were very angry. They were very motivated. They hated Paul and Silas. Next. All right. And when they had... Okay. And when they took him that same hour of the night... No, that's too far up. There we go. And they called the vessels. I wonder if this clicker works, but anyway. But when they had these stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their bonds. So he said, they said to him, "Keep him securely. This is your charge." He had a charge. What was his charge? If the prisoners escape, I'm just going to pay you a fine? No. He probably says, "I guarantee by my life I will keep these guys in this prison." But then at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, filling up the whole prison with their singing. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of prison, awaking from the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, what's the first thing he does? Supposing the prisoners have fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why was he about to kill himself? And why did he do it so quickly? Why was he immediately going to kill himself? He had a charge to keep the prisoners in the prison. It was his promise. And he thought they fled. So he's about to kill himself. Why did he not hesitate? Why didn't he look in the prison first? But Paul called with a loud voice saying, what, do you think Paul just said, sit there, let's watch him kill himself? No. Did he whisper, do yourself no harm? No. What did Paul do? He said with a loud voice, do not kill yourself, we're all here. When things are urgent, when someone's about to die, we need to scream and holler and shout. Then the jailer ran, called for light and ran in. Did he like, oh, let's just wait a while? No, he was immediate. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Why was he trembling? Did he know that Paul and Silas were the servants of the Most High, like the servant girl did? Did he hear about this? Did he hear that they were about to give them the way of salvation? He ran down, he brought to them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How did he know that they had the power of salvation? But he knew. He knew they were the power of God. So they said to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. It's believe. All you got to do is believe. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. What? He washed their stripes. Why? Because he saw the wrong that was done to them. Whether he was a witness or he did it, he flogged them themselves, we don't know. But he understood that he was part of the problem, and he washed their stripes. He repented. And then after they were baptized, they were immediately baptized. They wait a couple days? No. He knew that they had the power of salvation. He believed what they said. He believed that Jesus was the Christ, and he was baptized immediately. Now, when they brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So they were all baptized. That whole household, they rejoiced because they had believed in God. In Acts 2, during the day of Pentecost, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. That day, they were saved, 3,000 souls. Did they wait? No, they understood immediacy. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also, bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. We cannot. We must give an earnest heed. We must not neglect a great salvation. Let's talk about Saul. He was persecuting Christians. He's breathing threatenings. Then Saul, still breathing threatenings and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him. Then he fell to the ground. When you're in the presence of the Lord, what are you going to do? How long will it take you to fall to the ground? And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do we have to have a vision that comes to us before we know it's time to act? And he said to him, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So what did Saul do? He went. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground with his eyes were opened. He saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. When Jesus comes to you, how are you going to feel? That Jesus says, stop you. He could not eat or drink. Why? Why? He understood he was being stopped for a reason. Are you going to stop your sin? Are you going to turn around and go the right direction? Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Are you one that says, here I am, Lord? Are you ready and willing to do what God wants you to do? So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But he's persecuting Christians. Should I go? What does Ananias do? Are you ready to go when God asks you to go? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went. When Ananias was asked to go, he went. So Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, be it, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and received his sight, and at once, and he arose and was baptized. Did he wait? It was immediate. Saul repented, fasted 3 days. He was baptized. Why the immediacy? What causes us to want to be immediate? Is it we're annoyed or very angry or something? Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? When do we make a decision to do something? In Acts 8, Ethiopian eunuch, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the scriptures, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the answer says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, here's water. Why do I need to delay? What is holding me back? Does everything need to be perfect? Philip said, you just need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of living God. Matthew 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and the servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. Are we the servants of God? Are we the soldiers of Christ? When God says go, do we go? When he says come, do we come? When God says do this, do we do it? You heard about the prodigal son. Let's talk about, I'm sorry, this is the lost sheep. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go in the bounds to seek the one that was strayed? And if he should find it, surely, I say to you, he rejoices more over the one sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. When did he leave to go find the sheep? When it was lost. Immediately. Now the prodigal son. But when he came to himself, the prodigal son said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? He's perishing with hunger. What motivates us to do things, that act things? I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." I perish in with hunger. What motivates you? I know I need the Father. Do you know you need the Father? Do you know that the Father has the answer for what you need? And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father loves us. He loves us immediately. He shows compassion. He ran. That's immediacy. He wants us. And he kissed him. And the son said, "The Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son." He repents of his way. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on the ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found," and they began to be merry. What? He receives him back. And they rejoice. Immediately. So what's keeping us back? What's holding us back? Are we not annoyed enough with our life that we want to turn away from sin? Do we don't feel like we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness so we can be filled? Are we content where we're at? Why don't we act immediately? If someone's lost, do we go looking for them, or we just we'll just let the sheep get eaten by the wolves? Is there no immediacy when someone's in danger? What, we don't want to snatch them from the fire? What's holding us back? Are we not annoyed enough? Are we not hungry enough? Are we not thirsty enough? What? Do we not see the need enough? Do we not cry enough? Do we not feel the pain we cause Jesus when we sin? Do we not understand repentance? Why not immediately? If you ever a need or request, don't hesitate. Talk to a brother and sister in Christ. Talk to one of us, or come forward now as we stand and sing.